Father, in the name of Jesus, grant us the gracious Holy Spirit to give us the grace to say yes to the Lord today. The Lord's tugging on your heart and he needs you. But will you say yes, even on this day? Lord, may we say yes. Yes, Lord. My soul says yes to you. Now, O Lord, as always, we know the entrance of your word brings light. And let that light shine in our hearts, sir. Even on this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. My soul says yes to the Lord. And this is part of our Emerge series. Now, this part is so important for us to emerge spiritually. We got to say yes to his will. You know, it's been said, you know, that, you know, the Lord will not force anyone. You know, it's kind of like, well, you know, you can bring a horse, you know, force them to water, but you're not going to be able to force them to drink. Lord will do everything he can to corner you, to get you to say yes, but you've got to say the yes. He can't say the yes for you. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, Isaiah had an experience with the Lord. And this kind of experience is what we need again and again in our lives. Especially, you know, when we are at a major crossroads of something that the Lord wants to birth in our lives. Glory to God. He wants to birth something in our lives. In the year that King Uzzah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, and each one of them had six wings. With twain he covered his feet, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth. And said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. I call that Holy Ghost branding. That's right. Holy Ghost branded this man. You know how cattle ranchers brand their cattle? Take those tongues off of the altar of the fire and brand the cattle. Well, Holy Ghost branded. You know, they learned it from here. He branded this man, took the tongues of the altar, branded this man's tongue. And when he laid it upon his mouth, the angel, the seraphim did, he said, Look, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Then, you see, all of that experience was for one thing. You know, it wasn't just, oh, I saw the glory of God, you know, I got the, I saw the cloud, I saw the angels, I saw the pillar of fire, I saw all of that, you know, and so forth. You know, I had an experience. What was it all about? All of that was for this one thing. that will come next. So prepare him. And the thing that will come next was, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Now all of that experience was to lead him to this point, that he would hear that call. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Well, even today the call is going out. God's already called you. You know, he's called you. But have you said yes? He's calling you even now. Are you going to say yes? Today? Yes to his will. Lord God Almighty, we got to emerge spiritually. But first, we need to say yes. And here is, thank God, the way that Isaiah answered. Here I am, Lord. I say yes, he said. Send me. Praise God. Does God actually need people? I mean, the Holy One, the creator of the ends of the earth, you know, the one who inhabits eternity, I mean, whom the heaven of heavens cannot contain. Will he even look down to man and say, I need you? Will he? Yes, he needs you. Hallelujah. Because you are the agents of change that will make happen what God wants to bring about in your families, in your schools, in your communities, on your job, in your churches even. Many churches are sleeping and need to be awoken. And we must be that agent of change. And even in the marketplace, that's right. God is calling you to be the voice. That's right. Be the voice. You can even be that voice in the wilderness, in the solitary place, when everybody else is headed, you know, towards that broad and wide way that everybody is streaming into that leads to destruction. You could be that one voice. Hallelujah. But will you say yes? When the Lord calls, will you say yes? You know, there's an incredible story that many of us know, how the Lord got a hold of Saul of Tarsus. And we can find it in, and many people sometimes say, well, the Lord arrested him and so on. Maybe he did, you know, but even though the Lord arrested him and so on, God couldn't do anything with him, this man, unless he said yes. So let's read the story. You know, Saul was breathing out cruelty against the children of the Lord, against the way, you know, and he went to get letters from the chief priests and so forth to haul them into prison. You know, and as he went, traveled on the road, you know, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, Acts chapter 9 and verse 3, there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, heard a voice that said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul answered and said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the priests. Now, anytime people do these things against the children of the Lord, they are doing against the Lord. And he was, you know, astonished and he trembling. He fell and said, Lord, see, this is the thing. You know, he had to say this thing here. Otherwise, the Lord could not have permission to do anything. You know, and even though the Lord arrested him and showed him that, look, you can't win. But Saul still had to say yes. And this is what Saul said. What will thou have me do, Lord? Well, that's the question that we all must ask. And you know, sometimes in the major decisions in life, when you're about to step out into the call of God, you got to ask that question. But then even in lesser things, you got to ask that question. you know, the problem with us many times is, you know, sometimes we'll even do a good job asking that question from the Lord in big decisions, but we forget even in the little things. Ask the Lord what he wants. You know, and yesterday I was talking about strategy. And as we go through this Emerge series, I'll be talking more about that. But today, first, I want to prepare our hearts to know when the Lord is tugging on your heart and how that you must say yes. You know, your yes is what gives heaven permission to do what the heavens need to do in your life. Your yes is what gives the Holy Spirit permission to use you for his own glory. And Saul said, "What will thou have me do? What will you have me do, Lord?" You know, now these are two good stories of people that said yes to the Lord. And you saw what happened in the life of Isaiah, perhaps one of the most powerful prophets. You know, he prophesied the birth of the Messiah, prophesied the restoration of Israel. He prophesied so many things, you know, in that place, you know. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be on his shoulder, and so on. I mean, so many incredible things that he said, you know. He talked about, you know, how the Christ, what he would do, and so forth, how he would reign, you know, how he would have, you know, even the key of David. I mean, this was the man prophesied all these things, you know, praise Isaiah 22:22, house of the house of David that I lay upon his shoulder, and so forth. He's the one that told us that, you know, about the coming of John the Baptist. You know, I send my messenger before thy face. You know, he's the one that told us many, many promises. And in the book of Isaiah is the one place that you will find more than any other place in that Bible, the revelation of the oneness of the Godhead. Over and over again, Isaiah would say, "Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel." You know, in over 20 different places in the book of Isaiah that he would say that. And Isaiah is the same one also. I gave us that incredible faith declaration that we've been using in this room. Isaiah is the one that promised us that the Lord will frustrate the tokens of the liars. I mean, on and on and on. He became a mighty prophet. But he had to say yes. You know. And of course, then you know the story of Saul. I mean, all the things, you know. After Ananias prayed for him, you know, and so forth. I mean, he changed his name to Paul and all that. And you saw all the things he did. Now, this was a man that was contrary to the way at first, but when he said yes, he gave the Lord the permission to use him. Oh yeah. And finally he said, "And as much as the Lord have made me the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." He even rejoiced in it. One time somebody warned him, said, "You go down to Jerusalem, they're going to bind you, throw you into prison, you might even kill you." He said, "I'm ready to die also, even for that," and so on. I mean, he goes tremendous champion of faith. And look at all the writings and so forth that he wrote for us and for the churches, you know, in his life. I mean, during his lifetime, all the things he did and all his journeys and so forth. But he had to say yes. And those were incredible and good stories. Well, there's a story of a man not so good that wouldn't say yes. And you've heard of him. They called his name Jonah. And the whole book of Jonah was about a man that did not want to say yes to what God wanted him to do and run away. So let's look at his story. You know, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up against me." Well, you know, that's what the Lord told him to do. But what did he do? Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3. "But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof and went into it and to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." He wouldn't do it. you know, he ran from the presence of the Lord. You know, but God, you know, God was going to teach him a lesson and teach all of us a lesson, you know, through the story of Jonah. I mean, even the children in Sunday school, everybody knows these stories. You know, how, you know, a great tempest came against them and so forth. And nothing would appease that tempest until Jonah fessed up and said, well, I'm the one, the reason why this is happening. Throw me overboard. They didn't want to do it, but they did it. And eventually, you know, so eventually the great whale that God had prepared, you know, swallow him up and so forth. And then he began to pray, you know. In chapter 2, he started to pray, you know, and so forth. Well, you know, you save yourself a lot of hassle and pain by just saying yes in the first place. You know, and he said, Lord, why have you cast me into the deep, to the midst of the seas? The floods compass me, blah, blah, blah. You know, I cried out of the belly of hell. I mean, you know, it was like, you know, it was like hell for him inside the body of that. And the Lord allowed him not to die. I mean, he would be swallowed up, but he would be alive. He would have his senses. He would know everything that was going on. He'd have a chance to think about it, you know. And, but, you know, the Lord needed him to do what the Lord wanted him to do. And so when the fish finally spit him out on the shore somewhere, the word of the Lord came to him the second time in Jonah chapter 3. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid you at the first that you are running away from. See, the Lord still needs it. The Lord's not going to go down there and do the preaching. He needs you. You know, and so he needed this man to do it. This man wouldn't do it. This time around, though, finally, reluctantly, and there's a lesson to be learned from this story of Jonah. This man reluctantly went forth, you know, to do this thing. And he had no compassion. When you get to chapter 4, you'll find out why. He had no compassion for these folks. In fact, when he went, all he said was, yet 40 days. And Nineveh shall be overthrown. He didn't quite tell them to repent and turn to God. He just went through the city and proclaimed judgment against it. Well, one way or another, God will use even your folly and your errors, you know, if you do, you know, to do his will when you step out. He didn't quite do what the Lord wanted him to do, you know. Yes, the Lord wants you to preach unto it. You know, not just tell them judgment is coming. Yeah, you could tell them judgment is coming, but tell them what they need to do. He didn't tell them what they need to do, but God used that anyway. When they heard his preaching, the Lord began to move upon the heart of the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne and threw his, you know, his robe away from him, covered his head with sackcloth and sat down in ashes. And it caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not eat or drink water. You know, but let every body and everything be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. You know, and let everyone turn from his evil way and the violence of their hands. Well, perhaps God will repent and turn his fierce anger that we perish not. You know, isn't it wonderful when you have a ruler that can repent from the top and the whole country can repent from the top to the bottom? May God give us that, those kinds of rulers. America needs that kind of ruler. Nigeria and all these countries, they need those kinds of rulers. You know, wow. Wouldn't it be amazing if our rulers went before the Lord and put, you know, ashes on their head and sackcloth, enter sackcloth and begin to cry to God to heal the land? You know, wouldn't it be amazing if they did that? Well, of course, our rulers today, you know, they forget God. Well, you know, this man did not. He cried when he heard the judgment, you know, the cry of judgment against him. He cried to the Lord. He ordered everybody, man and beast, young and old, everything, cry before the Lord. And the Lord saw their works up. That's right. That they turned from their evil way. They were not just crying to the Lord. They actually repented. Every one of them said, well, enough with all of that. Anyone that had violence in their hands, they stopped it. They gave it up, you know, and they turned their ways towards the Lord and so forth. And then the Lord said, wow, you know, I'm not going to destroy this place because they have turned. Now, when we go to chapter 4 of Jonah, though, you will see the reason why Jonah was running away from the Lord in the first place. This thing displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. He was angry that the Lord saved the people. Can you imagine? You know, this story is in the Bible for many reasons. This man didn't want these people to be saved. He wanted them to perish because this was, you know, this was a very sinful city. You know, it was a sinful city, and this man, in his righteous indignation, he had no compassion. He didn't care for the lost. In fact, he wanted the fire of God to destroy them all. You know, and so when God told him to go and preach to them so that they can repent, he knew that if he preached and they repented, God would spare them. But he didn't want God to spare them. So he didn't want to preach. Now, isn't that the most, you know, I mean, I don't even know the adjective to use for it. Most horrible thing you ever read about the heart of a man that wouldn't want people to be saved. I mean, it's, you know, it's sad. It's grievous. You know, now, so the thing displeased him. And he said, look, you know, I pray thee, O Lord, was this not the reason? Wasn't this what I said in my country? Isn't this the reason why I fled from you to Tarshish? For I knew that you are a gracious God. You know, and you are merciful and you are slow to anger and of great kindness. And you will repent of the evil if I go there. But I don't, didn't want them to be saved. These people deserve to be wiped out. You know, there are people like that today that may think, you know, the people of this world deserve to be blown away. America, the handwriting is on the wall. But do they deserve to be destroyed, all of them? Did not even Christ die for them? You know, I mean, some of us are plagued every day. Our souls are vexed every day. You are walking in the marketplace and you, LGBTQXKY, they're all around you. Grieve your soul every day. But should they be destroyed? Or should the Lord save them? You know, this man did not want them to be saved. In fact, he said, look, it's better for me to die. You know, well, God went ahead and taught him a lesson. I'm going to leave that there. I'm not going to go into that lesson. But the lesson that God taught him was something simple, you know, that God brought up to give him some shade one day, and then God destroyed it the next day. And he was angry again for that. And because he was enjoying the shade, and God had to show him and say, well, if this thing, this small calabash or whatever, a gourd, they call it, that came up one day, had no life and destroyed the next day, and you're angry for, what about the souls of these people? Now, God wants the yes. And not a, you know, this kind of righteous indignation yes, that did not really want the people to be saved. And he just callously went there and said, well, 40 days and you'll all be destroyed anyway. Which is what he actually wanted. And this is so sad. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's examine our hearts to see where our heart is towards the people that are lost, that are groping in darkness. Where is your heart? Do you care that they be saved? Or in your mind, you say, well, they deserve it. Look at what they've done to the saints. Look at what they've done to the name of the Lord. Look at how they've done despite and, you know, to the name of God and how they just despise his name. They should be destroyed. That's not the kind of yes that God wants. God wants a yes like Moses that will say, Lord, I'm standing gap for these people. If you will at all not save them, then blot me out. You know, Paul actually said the same thing. He said, look, I wish I were accursed for my people, Israel. You know, because theirs is the fathers, theirs is the covenants, and I want them to be saved. God told them, look, I'm not accursing anybody. It's a person that, you know, will not repent that I will blot out. I'm not blotting you out, no matter what you say. But, you know, these people put their lives on the line to get their people saved. You know, now those were extremes, but what are we willing to do? Can we say yes to the Lord? You know, maybe all that the Lord wants you to do is just say yes, you know, to hear what he wants you to do after that. It's, you know, God doesn't tell anybody everything all at once. No, he'll never do it. When he called Abraham, called him out of his, you know, I mean, they were idol worshippers initially. Called him out of there to go someplace. He didn't tell him everything, you know, that or everywhere that he would go or whatever will happen to him after that. He had to take it by faith. You know, so when the Lord is calling you, don't sit down there and try to get all, know everything before you do anything. You know, that's the problem with people sometimes. We want to stay there, you know, and know everything. Lord, not God tell you everything. Well, where's trust at? You got to take a leap of faith, you know, and the trust will come along the way. By faith, Abraham, Hebrews 11 and verse 8, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. So faith actually leads to obedience. And he went out not knowing where he went, you know. But he took a step of faith. God said, well, get out of that place. I'm taking you somewhere. Well, he could have sat down and said, well, show me where I'm going first before I take the next step. But he didn't. He took the step not knowing where he went, you know. And when the Lord is calling you, you know, and one of the things that the real fivefold ministry, I don't even like to use that word fivefold, but these ministries that God put out there, the real job that we have, one of them is to prepare, you know, others to step out into ministry. As it is written in, you know, Ephesians chapter 4. We read of it in verses 11 to 13. And the role of these ministries, we are told, the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers, is for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry. Well, work of the ministry, you know, is to get others, you know, prepared and trained and unleashed. You know, I've said it before that these ministries are like the factory workers to build this thing and then turn it loose. You know, and this is what we must be doing. And get the saints of God into position. That's right. You know, it's not about the fivefold themselves. It's not about the apostles. It's not about the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. It's about the perfecting of the saints. And it's about the building up, the edifying, preparing others, you know, to step out, you know, building that thing and pushing it out of the manufacturing plant into the world. Praise the Lord. You know, so what God wants from us is a yes. That's right. Yes is what he wants from us. Will we say yes to him today? Now, yours may be a different path than everybody else. And in fact, it will be. It might be similar, but it's always different. As unique as your fingerprints are, you know, so is also the plan of God for your life is different. Now, some people spend a whole lifetime going through life without actually figuring out, you know, that they need to say yes to the Lord. And sadly, many believers, you know, do that. Well, you know, God is instructing spiritual leaders, you know, to help people figure out how to say yes. Eli had to do that for the little boy Samuel. Samuel was given up to the Lord because of an oath that his mother Hannah made even before he was born. And she kept the word and gave him up back to the Lord and lent him to the Lord all the days of his life, just like she said she would. And so at a young age, he was taken into, you know, the house of God, and he became a minister to Eli. Yeah, Eli, of course, was the priest at the time and everything, you know. But so Samuel became an altar boy right there in the church, was there. I mean, the synagogue all the time, the house of God. Sleeping there day and night, yet he did not know the Lord. And when the Lord called him, he ran to Eli multiple times. Now, it was Eli's responsibility to teach the young boy how to say yes. And of course he did. So we thank God that he actually did, because, you know, this young man did not know when the Lord was calling him. He didn't actually know it was the Lord calling him. But finally, through the help of Eli, the Lord, you know, got a hold of Samuel, you know. And so sometimes you need a little help. And I pray that this room will be that help for you this morning to be able to say yes. Yes. Several times he ran to Eli, and Eli finally said to him in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 9, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he call you again." This is what you are going to say. "Yes, Lord." That's what you're going to say, you know. And the Lord, he will be patient like that. And, you know, it's sad that many of us spend many years not saying yes to the Lord. And we waste a lot of valuable time, you know. So, but today, will you say yes to the Lord? There is something incredible that's on the horizon. But he needs you to say yes, you know. And so don't be an onlooker, just a passerby, and just gazing in from the outside. Engage. Praise the Lord. The Lord wants us to engage. And there are certain rules of engagement. The first rule of engagement is, yes, Lord. Yes. You got to say yes. You know, where the military, they want to draft, you know, and people and so forth. Somebody got to say yes and step up and go sign up. You know, so you got to say yes. And when you do, then other instructions will follow. Now, God's not going to tell you everything all at once. So be sure to know that. You know, God didn't tell Samuel everything all at once either. The word of the Lord came to him, here a little, there a little. One time here, one time there, and so on and so forth. But he became a mighty prophet too, after Eli straightened him out. And so, this message today is a call on everyone for you to say yes. Now, there may be people that listen to this that have not even, you know, said yes to the Lord in terms of committing their life for salvation. Now, that's the place to start. I'm hoping there's nobody that's in the room right now that hasn't given their life to Christ. But if there is, or somebody may be listening in later on, that's the first place to start. But if you have, this message is actually to believers, truly today. Believers that are still running away from the call. God has a call on your life. Everybody, you know, not everybody is called to preach. Not everybody is called to be an apostle, a pastor, a prophet, teacher, evangelist, all these things. But whatever it is that God called you to be, you got to figure it out. But it starts by you saying yes. You'll never figure it out if you don't say yes. First, you must say yes. Hallelujah. Once you say yes, then you've got permission. I mean, the Lord's got permission to download things into your spirit. You know, and then he'll begin to guide you. You know, and you can't say yes today and no tomorrow. No. You know, you got to count the cost. Jesus told many parables, said, look, count the cost before you start. Don't start and then quit. Because he said, look, anyone, you know, that puts his hand into the plow, you know, is not fit for the kingdom when he looks back. You know, if you put your hands on the plow, then you look back, and that's not a good thing. You're not fit for the kingdom then. You know, so once you lay your hands on the plow, what's the plow? Well, the plow are instruments that people use in, you know, breaking up the fallow ground and so forth like that, you know. So, but when you do that, and then you say, well, I'm not doing it anymore, and that's not a good thing. Luke chapter 9, verse 62 said, no man having put his hand on the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's Luke 9:62. So count the cost before you start, you know. But if it's been a long time that you've not said yes and you know the Lord's calling you, then what are you waiting for? Nobody's guaranteed another day. Now is the day. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So if you will hear his voice again today, don't harden your heart against the Lord. He needs you. Hallelujah. And this world needs us. We are those agents of change that will bring transformation. Righteousness and salvation must come. And God said, it is time. Praise the Lord. So that's my lesson today. Yesterday, the Lord sent me to the church to bring a message about righteousness and salvation. Some of you were there. And if you were not, you know, I recommend that you listen, find that message on our YouTube channel, GMI Church Media. I'll find it also on Facebook on that GMI Church and listen to it. You know, and I'm going to read that verse, one verse here, you know, that was the subject of that lesson. And then I'm going to pray over the room. The book of Isaiah, chapter 45. This is what the Lord wanted me to go out there. Powerful, powerful service. You know, I'll let those who were there talk about that if they want to. But here's what the Lord said to us yesterday. Drop down, ye heavens. Isaiah 45 and verse 8. From above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up even. Let them bring forth salvation and let righteousness spring up together. This is the call right now. Righteousness and salvation, it's time for it to pour down again from heaven. I mean, we've had great moves when the Lord did these things in the past, but he needs your yes. You know, it's, you know, he needs your yes. Who shall go for us and whom shall we send? The Lord has looked. He's been trying to fill up his house for centuries. But now he said, look, my house is still empty. You know, but everything is now just about ready. I need you to go into the byways and highways and hedges and so forth. Compel them to come in. The power of God, there is a mighty move that will sweep people in. You know, and that, you know, it's happening. And I want to be a part of it, don't you? Don't you want to be a part of what God is doing in your generation? You know, don't miss out. But he needs your yes. I'm going to pray over the room now. And then I'm going to turn it over to others to give their reactions. You know, but this is a consecration call today that you must say yes. Yes. In order to bring forth your emerging spiritually. Now, we're going to be dealing for the rest of this month, by the grace of God, back and forth on the subject of emerging to close out this year. Because that's what he said to us at the beginning of the year. And it'll be spiritual, it'll be material, physical, and so forth. Today, it's on this spiritual call. And God is calling us to say yes. Will you say yes to the Lord? He needs you, and he needs me too. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you. I give you the glory, and I give you the praise. I ask, O Lord, that the great Holy Spirit, the one that prepares our hearts, as it is written, it is the Lord that worketh in you both to will and to perform. Lord, again, it is written that we will not only will, but we will perform of your good pleasure. It is written of us in the volume of the book that we will be willing in the day of your power. May the Holy Spirit enable each one of us to say yes. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.